As a kid, I never really traveled anywhere outside of New Jersey. And I felt like I was living a pretty cookie-cutter, blah existence. Even all the way up into high school, just felt like I was going through the motions of what it meant to be a kid or a high schooler or an average American. Nothing that exciting ever seemed to happen. So I grew up, you know, on these movies of the 80s and 90s that I was inspired by, like Road Trip and Dumb and Dumber, Tommy Boy, Wild America, really, you know, intelligent, intellectual, complicated road trip movies. So I was inspired to create my own road trip, this big, epic two-month trip. So you would think that would be easy to sell to parents of a high school student, but it was not. I went through dozens of people. I'm not even joking. But I did land on a good friend who had been friends with me for 15 years, my friend Jeff, and his parents were on board too. And you know, he was a very mellow guy. He's a great friend. And I was always jealous of his family because they had traveled everywhere. And so first day of our road trip, we start the adventure. We're both in the car together. He's driving his dad's Honda Element. We just get on the highway, and Jeff, going pretty fast on the highway, hits one of those giant trash barrel-sized construction cones. First day. And it caused a dent. And I'm like, you know, we got to tell your dad about this. And he's like, I'll get to it. No, don't worry about it. So that goes on the whole trip. I'm just like, you should tell your dad. Weeks and weeks into it. No, that's okay. I'm not going to tell him. So 6 weeks into the trip, we're in northeast Arizona. And we're driving in the middle of a Navajo reservation. And I'm driving the car. He was my navigator. And he had fallen asleep. And I knew we had a turn coming up. And I didn't want to wake him up. So I glanced down at the map that was on his lap. And that was my mistake. And I drifted to the right a little bit. And we're going about 80 miles an hour. And sagebrush and dirt starts kicking up. And I'm a relatively new driver right out of high school. And I panic. And I turn sharply to the left. Sharply is not a good move at that speed. The other side also was not as flat. It dropped down a few feet. So at about 80 miles an hour, we dropped off the other side of the road and hit the ground full speed, and the car flipped. And everything was kind of a blur. It was just blue, green, blue, green, blue, green. And then the car landed upright. And I did what anybody does instinctively in this moment. I turned to my right and I said, "Are you okay?" And Jeff wasn't there. So my heart dropped. And I look at what was left, the void where his window was. His car door was peeled back like a can of sardines. And I panic, but my seatbelt's stuck, and I can't get out. So I see it in the, I can kind of reach the glove compartment. I pull out one of those cutter knives out of the glove compartment. I manage to cut my seatbelt off, and I try to get my door. But now my door is also jammed and pinned in. So I have to climb through that hole where he presumably just went through. And so I panic, and I climb through this hole. I land on the ground. I'm trying to run, but I stumble because I'm so exhausted and just confused. And I'm looking around everywhere, and I'm just yelling, "Jeff! Jeff!" And I can't seem to get oriented. The road seems like it's in the wrong place. And I realized the car had spun 180 degrees while it was flipping. So I had everything backwards. So I run around to the other side of the car, and I saw the most horrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. In the field of green-gray sagebrush, I see a white T-shirt and dust and blood. And my best friend is there. He's not breathing. He's not moving. I can't even move myself. So I just try to make my way towards him. And as I get closer, he's still not moving. I'm panicking, my heart's racing, and I kind of just start tapping his chest. You know, "Jeff! Jeff!" And then I heard that gasp of air, and he took a deep breath. And thankfully, he started breathing. And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." And he's not fully coherent, but he starts to breathe. And I say, "Jeff, what's your name?" And he coughs a little bit, but he does manage to sort of sputter out, "Jeff." So I knew he was there enough. And then in that moment, a haze of things happened. I remember hearing the siren break the silence. And then it was a whirlwind. It was an ambulance to a Navajo clinic. The Navajo clinic didn't have a proper MRI, so we had to do something else, and they were trying to figure that out. We got a phone call from someone that was a birthday call for me, horribly timed. I called his parents. I called my parents. We were trying to figure this out. Finally, he gets cleared to travel. We go to an airstrip and fly 200 miles to Flagstaff. Through turbulence, the plane plummets and levels out just in time, and we make it to Flagstaff, and he gets his MRI. And after all that, he goes through surgery, and when he came out of surgery, he had no broken bones, surprisingly, no internal trauma of any kind, and all he had was this big laceration on his leg that was peeled open, much like the car door, and in that was all dust and sagebrush, but they fixed it, they cleaned it out, and he had 46 staples to put it all back together. But when we're in the hospital, he finally wakes up. And again, I'm just profusely apologizing. I'm so sorry. And him being his mellow self just says, "Oh, it's all good, man. It's all good." And it's like the first thing he says. And then the second thing he says was, "At least I don't have to tell my dad about the dent." And I realized in that moment, obviously, he was going to be okay. So we flew home. And everything was fine. He Jeff got home fine. And one of the things that happened with this moment, though, is it was a trigger for me in my life. And you would think from that you would come out of it being very cautious. But I actually had the opposite effect on me. You know, obviously, I always make sure someone has a seatbelt on, because Jeff didn't have his seatbelt on in that situation. But otherwise, in other avenues in my life, I feel like I take more risks. It kind of pushed me to break outside of the mundane life and realize I could do what I wanted to do. I could go after these things that I wanted to, however risky or not risky, but the point is I could go after the things I wanted to. And I always think about that moment. If Jeff hadn't survived, I think both of us kind of would have died in Arizona in some way. And that always has been in my mind. And so since then, I've made a point of traveling more and kind of going on these crazy adventures. And you know, I've been to Costa Rica. I've been thrown out of some whitewater rafting boats. And I've been in some mountains with fire in them. You know what that is. I've climbed some of those. I've also most recently jumped out of a plane with just a backpack on, you know, so all this stuff. And it just has always made me think about being open to your future, living life with intention as you move forward. And I just like to do that every day, and it's all thanks to this incident with my friend Jeff. So thank you.